Come on, y'all give it up for Jesus in the building. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, let's bless the name of the Lord. Come on, let's magnify him. Let's lift him up. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We bless him this morning, amen. You all may be seated in his presence, amen. I'm excited about Jesus, amen. We give thanks for everything that God is doing in this place, everything that God allows us to see, experience. We thank God for his presence, amen?
Amen.
But you know, you can go in some churches and the presence of the Lord is not even there.
My God.
So I thank God that the Holy Spirit dwells here amongst us, amen? He is living in us, amen? And his presence and power is in the building, amen?
Amen.
Real quick, also yesterday, Sister Beverly and Brother Oprah were walking, the four of them. So I appreciate them stepping in and still yet committing to that particular assignment to jump off and start our movement ministry. We'll be here next Saturday, amen. We're going to try at least do this full month, and then maybe in April we'll do maybe two Saturdays out of the month. But we want to just become consistent and moving and doing something different, amen?
Amen.
And just allowing God to just move. And I thank God because that's the whole part of what this is all about. It's not just about the ministry of movement, but as minister, as Brother Joseph was sharing and talking and fellowshipping, when we begin to fellowship more, you begin to increase and begin to build up your faith and build up your hope in the things of God. Because I tell you, if you don't have a conversation with somebody outside of them sitting next to you in your pew, you'll never know what an individual has gone through, and they might have your answer to your problem. Amen. So we are excited to have things that go on outside of Sunday, outside of Thursday night, so that you can build community and build fellowship. Amen. So you can walk, you can talk, you can fellowship, you can have whatever good time and just be able to allow God to move. Was it a hard walk, the 2 miles, 1 mile there?
No.
It was good? It was good, Sister Beverly?
Yep.
All right. Brother Oprah, you was good?
Yep.
All right. As long as nobody has had no oxygen tanks and then afterwards. No. I want to make sure we can keep it going, amen? Because I want, we'll have to call 911 or nothing. You know, I know St. Joe's is over there, man. I don't know if we need a nurse on duty walking every week or something. But God is good, amen. So I appreciate that, and it was just a blessing. So we encourage you guys just to tap into that. If you got some time, amen, come on out and fellowship in our movement ministry. Amen?
Amen.
What else? Please, those of you all who are under 60 and need to purchase your tickets, or even if it's someone that, you know, was not invited under your particular group and they need to get a ticket and they want to purchase a ticket, because all the free tickets, we've done that part, and it's settled, it's good. So if they still want to come, you can still purchase your tickets for our senior brunch, which is March 28th at 10 a.m. It's going to be at the 176th Banquets at 1100 Northeast Frontage Road here in Joliet, Illinois. The link has been emailed out, so you can share it and invite people out so they can get their tickets. It's going to be an awesome experience. We have the Sounds of Joy that are going to be bringing that good Southern old school quartet gospel music. And we have the phenomenal Corey E. Bailey that is going to bring in the laughs and the comedy. We're going to have games and fellowship for the seniors. And so it's just going to be a good time. Amen. For those of you all who have never experienced our senior brunch, you are in for a treat. We do it every other year, and we try to just encourage and bless the seniors and give them an outlet of something different to do, and we're going to have a good time. The last time we had it, we had a dance contest. We might bring that back this year. Deacon Jerry and Sister Robin was doing the twist and a little stanky leg along with it. We get a little old school, new school, amen? All right. We're just going to try to hold down on the twerking, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God glory. Welcome to New Covenant Worship Center. Amen. My name is Apostle Jonas Jones. Amen. We give God glory today. Well, come on, y'all. Let's get into this word. And let's just allow God to minister to us this morning. I'm excited about how God gives us wisdom and he gives us understanding of the word of God. And he gives us everything that we need that pertains to life. There is nothing that the word of God has left out that pertains to life that he has given us access to. All we have to do is go after it, seek after it, and to begin to apply it to our life.
Amen.
And so We've been teaching in this series since the beginning of the year on whole life prosperity. And we started off teaching about being whole spiritually. That's the first component that you have to get in line, because if we're not connected to Jesus and we're not connected to God, that will hinder and bring us to a place where we become mentally unstable, which then leads to us becoming physically unstable. So if we first begin to get in position to understand the relationship that we need with God, how important that is, how we have to be in a position to submit to God, that we will now have the power to resist the devil and that he may flee from us, and then move us into a place of being whole mentally and emotionally. That was our last part that we talked about last month. Mentally, emotionally goes hand in hand, because our emotions can become unbalanced based on our spiritual status, because we don't know how to deal with or to be able to calm or to regulate our emotions, because we don't have the spiritual balance of knowing that God is our peace. Amen. That God is our strength, that God is our comforter. So when we have understanding of that, when our mental state begins to be unbalanced and we begin weak in certain areas, certain things happen in life that push us to a place where we don't know how to handle things. But because we have a foundation in Jesus and the Word of God, it will begin to help us become mentally and emotionally whole. And so now that leads us up to the point and place, and we're going to learn some things today. And Dr. Battle is here, and I know that she can probably confer with some of the things we're going to share today. We're going to give some basic knowledge and understanding of how all these things, they go together. Because we're talking about that mind, the will, the emotions. We're talking about being whole in every area of our life. And so when we get to the point and place of what is ailing us, what is physically in our bodies that it's keeping us from being whole and keeping us from being free in that area where we can have healing manifest in our lives. Because a lot of sickness is not a result of what we eat. Physical ailments is not just about what we put in our mouth. It's some things that can be going on mentally and in your spirit that will begin to push you to a point and place where it begins to affect your physical health. Yes. Because when we begin to meditate and worry and stress and think on things, over an extended period of time, it begins to affect your physical being. And we have to recognize those particular areas and know that, you know what, God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And so if we put ourselves in a condition where we're constantly worrying, we're constantly stressing out about our children, we're constantly stressing out about our job, and then you find out, when I go to get my doctor's report and I go for my physical, annual physical, why is my blood pressure high? Why is my cholesterol out of whack? You know, why are things imbalanced in my physical body? And I have to begin to find out, what is the source of this? Because it may not be the hereditary part, that because your grandmother or your mother had it. No, it's some things that you have done that I have to be accountable for in order to separate myself from, so that I don't continue down this path of destroying my physical health, because I desire and want to be whole in my body. I want to be whole in my body, because if I don't have my body, what if my physical thing is not operating? What good is it to me to have the millions of dollars in the bank? What good is it to me to have houses on islands and have access to private jets and have access to the diamonds and pearls of life, and I can't enjoy it because my physical body is now disabled and it doesn't have the fullness that I can operate like I need to operate? So I want to have that understanding that being whole physically is important to me. So you have to make physical health a priority. And so this is where we lack, because, and I'm guilty of it myself, because we lack discipline in that area. This is the hard fight right here. Now you can go to church, you can get in your word, get in your prayer time, that spiritual part. You know, you can get your mental, emotional state. You can begin to, get into a certain place, put on you a good little calming music, and, you know, it can soothe your soul. But when it comes to that physical thing, you say every Wednesday is fasting for what? You say, what do I need this for? Why can't I just have some good old potatoes and eggs for breakfast? You want me to eat a grapefruit? Pastor, you want me to have peaches and a banana? You want me to just drink some water? I can't have a Pepsi for breakfast? You mean I can't have my coffee today? What's, come on now, this is not good for me. You want me to fast? Come on now. But we're gonna see today in scripture, we're gonna see some things of the importance of, you have to maintain this life so that it becomes a part of you. And when it becomes a part of you, it does not become a hindrance or a struggle or become hard for you. And I remember when we did our fast in the beginning of the year, because we were praying for the first 20 days of the year, and people had said that this restarted and reactivated my fasted life. We didn't do anything strenuous as far as, you know, we didn't do 21 days of, you know, a Daniel fast or anything like that. But we did a staggered fast, and we did things from 8 a.m. or 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. and different things on different days. But what that does is it begins to allow your flesh to become subject and to begin to build some discipline and some faithfulness and some consistency. Because once you came out of that, some of the things that you were eating previous, you don't have the same desires for, or you don't need it as much, because your body has become accustomed to something new. So when you introduce your body to something new and something that is, you know, that you are now trying for a new experience, it will help you to develop the habits of not necessarily needing as much sugar as you thought you needed. Amen. Amen. So I'm building my case. We're gonna get the scripture. I'm just building my case, and because I want you to see this today. And last week we talked about the scripture, and we saw the healing and the power of Jesus moving, and we're gonna see him move again today. Amen. But if I don't condition my mind,
that's it right there.
Because I have to get my mind, because my mind is gonna instruct and tell my body what to do. My thoughts, my mind. I have to make a decision. When I early that morning, I made the decision to say, with me and Pastor Venice, we weren't gonna make it because of what had happened. Her father had just passed, and we had been out there late that night, and different things were going on. And so I said, I'm not gonna be able to make it, but I still want you guys to move forward.
Amen.
Whoever's gonna go as well. You don't have to. It don't have to be with us. You know, and I know it's good. You know, hey, you want to hang with us? I don't mind hanging with you. That's what I want to do. But Sister Robert said she was just about to text me, she's about to text me after I sent out the email, and I texted her. I said, look, y'all go ahead, whoever's going to be there, and y'all go ahead and walk. Amen. Now, she had already got in her mind that she was going to do this.
Amen.
And she had emailed me, she said, I'll be there. And so her mind had to first come into agreement with what was needed to be done in order to get her body to start moving in that direction.
Right.
She said she was off work that day, and so she could have taken that day off and did what she wanted to do at the beginning of her day. But she said, you know what? I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to get into this particular movement. I'm in this phrase. I'm in this mindset. So once she gets that place, now she gets here, and she acts it out.
Amen.
And she accomplishes the goal. And everybody, whoever walked that morning, they all had to have that same mindset.
Amen.
They had to make a decision, because it's a decision to choose to change.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
It's a decision that has to be made to choose to change. Change is not going to happen without a decision to make things in a different way or do something in a different way in order to receive and get change. You're not going to receive change if you keep doing the same thing over again. That is what we call an insanity. You're expecting to get something different results, but keep doing the same thing. So in our physical being, we have to take priority and have to take the importance of this and recognize. And what I love about this is, I want you to understand too, is what's so important about how we layer this and how we understand. We've got to be whole spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and then physically. You need Holy Spirit. I'm here to let you know, Holy Spirit will talk to you about your body. You don't have to go to a doctor to get a diagnosis if you're connected to God and connected to his presence. Holy Spirit will begin to minister to you. Something is not quite right. It's many of times when he's given me, he said, you know what? Don't eat that right now. You need some of this today. And you have to make a decision if I'm going to yield to those instructions. Because it could be very well a blessing to you. It could very well be a help to you for you avoiding something that could have been catastrophic.
Come on now.
I know that Crave case was calling you not at midnight, but at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I know the Crave case was knocking at your door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you said, man, I would love to go for a double white castle, a vanilla shake, and some onion rings. You're talking about glory. But Holy Spirit will intervene and interrupt and say, well, you know, you got a meeting at 5 o'clock. And if you indulge in this particular lunch, it may impair your ability to fulfill the meaning of your assignment. So I need to interrupt that particular Crave case. And change your direction. But you have to yield to Holy Spirit, because if you're going to say, well, you know what, but I ain't had in a long while, you know, because you only get a Crave case every now and then. You can't have that on a regular. That can't be that. No. That's why they call it a Crave. It hits you all of a sudden. So now if you change your mindset and you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, and you don't take that particular temptation of that Crave case that's been put in your mind, put in your thought process, and you don't answer the call, and you begin to discipline yourself and say, you know what, I'm not going to walk in that today. I'm just going to get me a little soup, a little salad, and a little grilled chicken breast, and I'm going to be good. And then you can move on. And then when your meat comes at 5 o'clock, you're fine. You're able to do what you need to do. But if you be disobedient to what Holy Spirit may be leading you to do, you find yourself, you know what, hold on. Excuse me, in the middle of your meat. Amen? So now that I got you warmed up, and you're all open and ready for the word, let's go to Mark chapter 9 in the NIV. Mark chapter 9. We there? We ready?
Amen.
Mark chapter 9 in NIV. We're going to start reading at verse 14. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? This is Jesus speaking. He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Verse 19, you unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Let's stop right there before we get to the next phase. Now, in this particular passage in Mark chapter 9, it talks about the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus and his core group, Peter, James, and John, had went with him up to the mountain. And so now they've come down and they found the other disciples who were in this particular situation where there's a crowd of people around, because this particular young man has brought his son to the disciples and he's seeking out some healing, some restoration, something to get his son to a place of deliverance, because he's been under the attack of demonic influence ever since he was a child. And so the man brings the boy to the disciples, and the man says that I brought my son to your disciples, but they could not deal with the spirit. Now, he said that every time this particular spirit would begin to manifest in his son. Verse 17, it says, Teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. So he can't talk. He said, whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. This spirit brings violent activity and throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes teeth, and becomes rigid. So these are all outward showings of things of the spirit manifesting, but it is hindering this young boy's health. It's hindering his body because it's trying to kill him. We're going to see later because it says it throws him into the fire, sometimes throws him into the water. That spirit is trying to kill that young boy. He said, I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. So I want to talk to you today, and I want you to begin to look at and to begin to find out and examine ourselves. What spirit is upon us? What spirit has influenced us that has gotten us to a place where we're disconnected and we cannot receive our full healing in our body? What thing is tormenting us? What thing is throwing you into violent convulsions? What thing is tossing you and having you foaming and gnashing at the teeth? What spirit has you allowed to come in? Because this is what I want you to understand. This is why if we're not whole spiritually, this now, if we're not whole there, this opens the door for demonic influence to have an access to us. It opens the door for it to have access to us because we are not sealed in understanding the relationship that we need with God and the relationship that we need with Jesus in order to keep and to protect us from those particular spirits to try to invade and to try to take possession of us and to try to house in us and live in us. We have to be connected to God in order to help protect us. Amen. So here, this young boy has been exposed and this spirit has found a home in him. And his father is upset. He's tired of going through the struggle and the frustration that he has to deal with every time this spirit begins to manifest. Now, he's become conditioned to live with this for a period of time. Because I told you that sometimes we get comfortable in our situation because we don't know how to cry out and reach out to God to know and have the faith to trust that he's able to deliver us. Because it says he's a child, but now he's a boy. Because when Jesus asked him, he said, how long has this thing been? See, you have to find out when the place was beginning introduced to you. You got to look back over your life. When did I start falling apart in my mental state? What transpired? What trauma took place that took me to a place where I could now keep myself together? That every time something happened, I found myself crying. I found myself weak. I found myself wanting to harm myself. What trauma happened? What triggered this? So that spiritual aspect began to affect his body because this thing began to come. He would foam at the mouth, naturally throwing him to the ground. If this spirit is thrown to the ground, he got some bruises on him. He has some evidence of once this spirit is manifested, it's now manifesting, showing forth on his outward body. But I want you to understand something. I want you to see something. What goes on in our mental state, what goes on in our mind, and what goes on with different things that come about, it leads and can lead to physical ailments. That unforgiveness you're holding on to, that bitterness you're holding on to, that resentment, it wasn't the ham hocks. It was the resentment that you had since you were 6 years old towards your grandmother who abused you and misused you, and you keep blaming it on the ham sandwich that you eat, and you say, I gave up pork, but you still got bitterness. I'm a vegan, but you still evil. So what's the underlining thing that has me in a position where I'm not walking in the fullness of being whole? Because there's some vegans that still have heart issues. Oh yeah. It's some star people who have been great athletes, physically trained, physically in their body, but they died of a heart attack. And they say, well, how could they do that? They worked out 3 or 4 times a week. They had the best diet, but something was going on underneath that particular physical thing. It was something spiritual that could not be seen with the natural eye. It had to be identified with the spirit. I'm going somewhere. Just follow with me. I don't take it. Just stay with me. So this particular, it's an article by MQ Mental Health, and it begins to talk about the correlation between poor mental health has a negative impact on your physical life. So these are statistics, documented facts that have been tested through people, and they've examined and they've watched to see the results of how my mental state can affect my particular body and my physical state. It's becoming, this is from MQ Mental Health. This article was published on May 22nd, 2017 by Lucy Horton. I'm just gonna read a little bit of this and give you a little bit, and then we'll get back to the scripture and we're gonna close this thing out. Y'all good? I got to teach you this morning. I want you to get real full today. Amen. It is becoming well known that poor mental health can have a huge negative impact on one person's outcome in life. Most shockingly, having a serious mental illness can reduce life expectancy by 10 to 20 years. But why is this happening? We don't have all the answers. And to ensure that people can live the full life they deserve, we must invest research to find them. One factor that scientists believe is playing an important part is the impact that our mental health can have on physical health and vice versa. The impact that mental health can have on physical health. Physical health can have an impact on your mental health. I'll talk about that in a minute. We look at four studies and they show how mental health impacts our physical health, showing the potential that effective mental health treatments could have for the whole body. Did you hear that? Potential effective mental health treatments that could have for the whole body. I'm going to give you two of these points and then we're going to get back to scripture. Severe mental illness and heart disease. Here's a correlation. Severe mental illness and heart disease. A recent study by King's College London showed the link between severe mental illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depression, and cardiovascular disease. The biggest study of its kind, researchers analyzed data from 3.2 million people living with severe mental illness, finding they were at 53% higher risk for having cardiovascular disease than those who didn't have mental illness. The risk of dying from the disease was also 85% higher than people of a similar age in the general population. So here it is, your mental state can affect your heart. Schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depression. Because these things begin to weigh down on your body. Because you're doing things and your body has become to a place where it is now doing things that is foreign to it and it doesn't know how to react. It cannot comprehend because God has not given us a place where we should be walking in depression. He's given us the place where we should be whole and one with Him. He said we should be one with Him. And then he talks about bipolar. You can't have two of you walking around. And that's just, that's not to be funny, but that's just a simple way to put it, because it says bipolar. What happens is you begin to see two dimensions of an individual based on a certain stage of their end at a certain point in their life. You can be, bipolar is not just acting out in a way that may be manic depression or very violent or openly. It could be you just silent. You could just be a person that's not even want to interact with people and you're just always by yourself. And this could be a sign or a place where you're in a bipolar state. Because my mental capacity begins to change, and now it begins to affect my body. Because then I may start doing things that I normally didn't do. So when I'm in a bipolar stage, I may start smoking cigarettes when normally I don't smoke. But when my mental state has been triggered by something, now I'm smoking again. Or I may start drinking again. Or I may start doing things that will begin to bring forth harm to my body that normally, if I was in a mental state of stability, I would not go into that direction, because I would understand that my wholeness is important to me and it's a priority to me. And I don't want to allow myself to fall off and get into things that will harm my mental, physical health. Yeah. It goes on another point. Dr. Battle, are we on? Is this article pretty much on point? Amen. I just want to make sure she's a psychologist in the building. Depression, anxiety, and cancer mortality rates. A study that hit headlines early this year discovered that there was a link between high levels of mental distress and an increased risk of dying from cancer. Researchers from University College London, Edinburgh University, and the University of Sydney looked at data from 16 population-based studies. They measured the mental health of people through questionnaires indicating levels of depression and anxiety who had not been diagnosed with cancer. Then they followed those people up over a 10-year average period and tracked whether they died from cancer, drawing data from which type of cancer. The researchers took into account the potential factors that could distort the data, like age, sex, body mass index, education, smoking, and alcohol consumption. Point number three. And that's going to be, all right, sales number two, but diabetes and depression. Studies have revealed a connection between depression and diabetes, but more research is needed to fully understand how they link. One study showed that people who have both depression and diabetes tend to have more severe symptoms than those who have only diabetes. Another study revealed that those who with both conditions were also 85% more likely to have a heart attack. The research shows the importance of finding people most at risk and monitoring their cardiovascular health. Amen? So we have to know the underlying things that can be a factor in deteriorating our health. It's some behind the scene things that can be going on that can put us in a position like this young boy was being tormented, and it put him in a place where he was tormented. He didn't have peace. He didn't have the joy that he needed. He wasn't able to enjoy his childhood as he should because this thing had become a hindrance. And now his father had become so frustrated and become so tired. Now he's seeking out assistance and help. He's trying to find an answer because nobody else can help him. When you get desperate enough in your situation, when you're tired of going through your situation, you've tried all that the doctors told you to do. You've tried all the prescription drugs. You've done all those other various things that they have prescribed to you, and they said, this should work, that should work, this should help you. And if you're not getting any results, you got to make a decision on what's the next thing that I need in order, because I desire to be free. I desire to be whole in my physical body. What do I need to do? And so you got to get like this father did, and he got hungry enough for his son to be healed that he said, I need to get into the presence of God. I need to find God. But notice this. He found Jesus' disciples and they couldn't help him. Are we in a position when someone comes to us, can we help them in their situation where they're in an area where they're not whole? Can we minister to them? Can we help them through the process? Can we be in a position to be able to cast out those various spirits and deal with those things? Or are we just going to continue to sugarcoat and pacify things and allow it to be in that place because now we don't believe like we should in the power of God? Another point talks about, I brought my book today. I was ready. Stronghold, strong man's his name, what's his game? And it has a chapter in there about the deaf and dumb spirit from Mark chapter 9. But it says in the book, and it talks about later on in that particular chapter, it talked about how some people with mental illness, what we do in America and what we do in this country, he said they have mental illness. What we do is we'll put them in a mental institution and we give them medicine. And what it does is it sedates you so that the demons that were really there, they can't manifest. They're inactive. So you just continue to now soothe those spirits and they continue to dwell. Now, it said this is not in all cases. Some people have mental illness and they need to be mentally institutionalized. But what happens is because we become as a society that we don't believe in spiritual aspects and we don't believe in the power and authority of God. What we've done is if we've now bound up people who could potentially be free. Based on what society and what this particular world has said, who has no faith in the power of God. That you have somebody prescribed to a drug when all they need is the power of Jesus. All they need is the word of God. And you can begin to save yourself millions and millions of dollars, millions of hours of research and time when you can just begin to allow them to get into the presence of God and allow Jesus' word to come in and manifest in life and bring forth complete healing and deliverance where you don't have to keep going back and forth. Because a lot of times they'll have a space of time of a limited freedom. Because they now applaud the particular prescription that's been prescribed. Oh, Jimmy's doing better now. He can hold a conversation with you for the past 2 weeks. So the medication has kicked in and he's become better. But don't take him off the medication, because if you get off the medication, you don't know what's going to happen if he's going to restart with the old habits. I don't want to have an off and on mindset. I don't want to have an off and on particular place of being unstable. I want to move to a place to be stable and get my mind right, get my body right, I want to be free completely. Yeah. I don't want to have 6 weeks of goodness and 7 weeks of badness. I can't deal like that. I don't want to have that. I want everything to be made whole in my life. And so you have to make a decision, and we have to realize, understand what things need to be treated through the prescription or what things need to be cast out. Because it's right here in the book, but we don't believe it because we've been conditioned by society. Let's get back to the scripture. Verse 19. He says, Jesus speaks. He says, "You unbelieving generation." Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So Jesus got a little attitude with him. You know, he like, you know, tripping. He's like, "Look, y'all. I just came off the Mount Transfiguration. I mean, the glory of God is on my life. I just had an encounter. I allowed Peter, James, and John to see another side of me. And y'all down here and dealing with this spirit, and you don't have the faith to believe." Now, notice this. It did not say they didn't have the power, they didn't have the faith. Because the power is in Jesus' name. But you got to have the faith in order to believe that Jesus' name is powerful enough to bring forth the deliverance and the healing. He said, "How long shall this unbelieving generation?" He says, so verse 20, so they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. Now notice this. When the spirit saw Jesus, that thing manifested. Because it recognized his authority. It recognized his power. It recognized he just came off the Mount of Transfiguration. Glory is on him. And this is why a lot of times in the body of Christ, when we look around and say, well, why people aren't being delivered? Why demons aren't being cast out? Because there is no authority in the building. Ain't no demon going to manifest. It ain't no way. It ain't going to be cast out because everybody sitting in your pew is a demon with you. Demons attract like-mindedness.
Come on.
If the whole row in fornication, that fornication demon ain't coming out. Y'all all on the same page. We're on the same accord. So we have like-mindedness. If the pulpit is jacked up, then how you gonna get free? So we remain bound. So because the Bible says immediately when the spirit saw Jesus, that thing went and took that boy into convulsions, and it began to manifest because now it wants to now. Looking at this, the other part is it wants attention because a crowd has drawn. This is why when you're going through deliverance, you don't need people just standing around watching if they're not in a position to be praying or have any authority in the situation, because demons like attention. So now the crowd is there. Now the demons, they see Jesus. Now they manifesting. So now we got to deal with it.
Come on.
Because this done rolls up. It ain't lying dormant no more. The medication done wore off. He ain't sedated no more. So Jesus, he says, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" Now notice this. Why didn't he ask the boy? The boy has a mute spirit. He can't talk. See, some of us are doing warfare wrong, and we're in warfare and not identifying and having discernment and wisdom on how to deal with the spirit. So you want to talk to a spirit. If it's deaf, how you going to ask it what it is? What's his name? You're speaking to the wrong person. He asked his father, who has been dealing with this boy for some years, and he begins to ask him, "How long has he been like this?" Because the boy can't tell you. And I found out another thing that we have to understand too. It says the demons will lie to you.
Come on.
Because that's in their nature. Because their father is the devil, the father of lies. So I can't ask the boy, "How long has this thing been here?" I need to talk to the dad. And the father says, "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown into fire and water to kill him. But if you do anything, take pity on us and help us." Now, you got to understand this man's state of mind for what Jesus is getting ready to say next. This is why it's important that if you say you're Christian, You say you're a believer.
That's right.
You got to have something that you're backing up with.
Yeah.
You got to have some evidence of who you say you are.
Yeah.
You can't run around in a Superman suit and you talking about you're afraid of kryptonite. Baby, Jesus is so good, he can overtake kryptonite.
Yeah.
Kryptonite ain't got nothing on the blood of Jesus. So baby, put your Superman cape on, put your little tights on, put your S on your chest, and baby, get the moving and get the working and do the thing that God has called you to do. You need that. You can't allow anything to hinder you and keep you from the power of God. So here it is. He said, if it be possible, he said, if you can help me, if you can help me, please help me. Have mercy on me. Jesus replied, he said, if. If I can, but let me help you why the Father is in this position. Because he went to people who represented Jesus, the disciples, and they could not cast out the spirit. So he didn't have enough faith to believe if they represent Christ, can you really do this? Because they represent you and they couldn't do this thing without you here. So I'm trying to help you. You can't just be in here, Wonder. I'm tired of Sunday wonder anointing men and women of God. I need you to be anointed outside of the four walls. When that devil comes cuss you out on your job, are you going to stand there and cuss him out back? Or are you going to begin to pray and begin to seek the wisdom of God? You need to line up with the word of God in order to do what needs to be done. You can't be in this place being a wonder on Sunday morning and think you're going to shout up, prophesy, lay hands on the sick, and you go about in this place and your daddy, your mama, your daughter, your sister, your brother acting a whole fool hellion. Yep, I got a few of them at home too. I got to deal with. You gotta go beyond the place because you gotta love a backup in the building. Elder here, minister here, evangelist here, prophet them here, the apostle here. So you big and bad with your Superman cape on now. Baby, what happened on Monday night when that joker called you up and come out? Come by here. I want to see you. My. Put on your red dress. Put on them high heels. And you say, hold up, man of God. Hold up. Wait a minute. Why the man of God called you talking about put on your high heels and your red dress? Listen, I don't know who you think I am, but that's not the anointing that I possess. I'm holy. I'm waiting on my boy. And if you ain't putting no ring and no paper contract on this thing, baby, you can't have it. Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm in this vein today, but somebody must have got a little freaky last night. Oops, I'm sorry. Are we at church? Did I just say that out loud? I thought I kept that in my mind. I'm sorry. My God. I thought that was in my thoughts. That came out loud. Y'all heard that?
Come on.
Well, let me get back to the book. So the Bible says. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he asked, and then he has off the throne of the fire and water, wanted to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. So you mean to tell me that my deliverance is connected to my believing? My freedom to be made whole is connected to my faith and me believing in the power of Jesus? I just need the faith to believe? Listen at this. I love this because the man did not waste any time because he was real serious about being and having his son to be made free. Because he'd been dealing with this too long. And he said he keeps on this. This spirit is going to kill my son. So he says in verse 24, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief.
Yes.
How is he going to help him overcome his unbelief? Jesus is going to perform the miracle, which is going to now help his unbelief. See, the reason why people are not being converted, because we're not performing miracles, and people can't see in the signs and wonders that has been promised to us, because he said signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. If we're really believers, where are the signs and wonders? Where is the evidence that something has changed in your life? Where is the evidence that God is evident? He's living on the inside of you. What has changed? What's different about you? What stands out now? Are you still the same old mess that you used to be? Are you still wearing that same old bonnet, that same old robe, that same old dusty thing? You still stuck in no more drama like Evangelist Mary was in the play? Is she still sad about her boo left? And she mad and depressed about it? And she ready to go get up gasoline and burn them up? No, you gotta get out of that mindset. I gotta clean myself up, wash your face, brush your teeth, do your hair, go buy you a new dress, buy you some new shoes, go to eat dinner outside by yourself. Enjoy your life for you. Because I can't live like this. I can't be in this particular state. I can't be in this particular mind space over a lengthy period of time. I got to get free. So you know what? I'm changing my mindset. I believe. I believe. I believe. His daddy said, I believe. Show me. Help me. Now, see, that's an area. Are we willing to confess our unbelief? But we're afraid because we say, I've been in church for 35, 40 years. Well, baby, let me help you. It's some things that we go through that are challenging, and it will begin to attack your faith. Because that's where the enemy is coming after. He's coming after your faith. The Bible said that Jesus said, when I come back to the earth, what will I be looking for? What will I find? Will there be faith in the earth? Jesus. So the enemy's after your faith. So it's going to come under attack. So you got to realize that I'm going to have some moments, but I can't allow it to take me out. I can't allow it to put me into a place where I'm depressed and oppressed, and I'm dealing with this thing. So the man says, look, help me overcome my unbelief. He admitted it. Look, because I need my son free. This thing is serious now. It's trying to kill my son, and I don't want that to happen. And I'm the only one that's standing in between my son's deliverance.
Come on.
What?
Come on.
Are we in a position to recognize that we may be the one that's standing in the way of our children's deliverance?
Yes.
Oh. It got real quiet right there. I lost my Baptist people. And everybody became Lutheran. Oh, Jesus. Where did my Baptist crowd go? They all got Methodist real fast. What are your children doing? What are we doing that's keeping our children from being set free? Oh, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. My unbelief helped me. So now, verse 25. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, because I told you demons like attention. Here come the crowd. And so Jesus immediately, he said, he rebuked the impure spirit. He says, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him. And listen to this, never enter in him again. So, because you got to understand something. Jesus understood how demons manifest and how they operate. Just because you cast them out today, you got to seal that thing. And you got to close the doorway. Because the Bible says that once a house is clean, that spirit is coming back looking for someone to house, looking for somewhere to dwell. He said if he get back in, he could be coming in seven times strong. See what happens? This is why you have to clean up residue.
Come on. Help somebody.
What? See,
help somebody.
If your house is caught on fire, you can't just remove the fire and move back in. You have to now clean up the soot and the smoke, because if that stuff stays in there, over time it can be damaging to your lungs. So I have to clean up the residue of the evidence of the thing that had came in of that fire. So once you've now been cast out, this is your responsibility to now remain whole spiritually. How do I do that? I got to get into the Word of God. I got to hear the Word of God. I got to pray more. I got to get around the saints. I can't forsake to assemble myself together. I have to build up this place so that I can become strong enough to fight against this spirit because it's trying to tear me down. You think when you're going through some stuff and you done got free, that stuff don't come knocking back on your door? It come looking for you. You ain't had a cigarette in 6 weeks. And you think on that 7th week when that joke come? Every flyer come in the mail, cigarettes half price. And you be like, cigarettes was never on sale when I was smoking. Because the enemy, he's trying to pull you back in to the place that you've been free from. But Jesus says, and never enter him again. Verse 26, look what happened. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. Now, this is the area because I want you to understand, he looked dead because that spirit was affecting his body. It had thrown, he had been thrown into a body convulsion before that thing finally had came out of him. But he had been going through so much. He had been thrown to the ground. All these various things. He had just manifested all this stuff that spirit was doing. And so now he's laying there like a corpse, like there's no life in him. Because that spirit has now come out of him. Now he needs assistance to be restored. And see what the body of Christ has done, we've lost the ability of restoration. Because we think once you've fallen, that there ain't no really no recovery. Because we're going to keep looking at you through the eyes of your fallen place. And we don't know how to have mercy and grace. But when it hits your house, you want mercy and grace. But when you see your neighbor going through a thing, you ain't got no mercy and grace. And you want to say, well, you know you shouldn't have been doing that anyway. You know you ain't right. You know you should have. You know better than that. You've been in church 755 years. You know better. You should know better, baby. But you got to understand. You got to be willing. We got to be able to restore people back to life. He's laying there like a dead corpse. They think he's dead. Think he has no life left in him. But he's standing. He's laying right in front of the man who has all life in him. And love. And this is what Jesus does. We get ready to close this thing out. But Jesus took him by the hand. What? Jesus reached down, took him by the hand, and lifted him to his feet. And he stood up. I need you to know that if you desire to be whole physically, will you allow Jesus to grab your hand? Will you allow him to assist you? Will you allow him to help you? Will you allow him to stoop down to your situation and help pull you up? Or are you too prideful to think that you got it all fixed out? You got it all worked out? You got the answer to all the problems? You got the solution to everything? I don't need Jesus. I can do it myself. No, I need the power of God. I need Jesus to come in and give me his hand and help lift me up to my feet. Next part, he says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Because now they're trying to figure out, now how you coming here so fast? How you coming here so quickly and deal with this thing?
Right.
And we was wrestling with this joker. He just kept manifesting, kept throwing the boy down. And everybody trying to figure out what's going on. But I love this because this shows that the disciples still yet desired growth.
Yes.
They still wanted to learn. They didn't allow the enemy to come in with shame. Because what happened is, if you don't have a success, then now you get shamed when you don't want to ask for help.
Yes.
You get shamed when you don't want to ask for assistance in that area. Well, that's not my area of expertise. So the disciples said, well, why couldn't we cast them out? So they wanted to get to the place of growing to the next level because they asked Jesus. They said, Jesus, why? Why couldn't we do it? What happened? What was hindering us? Because they don't want to encounter this again. See, you got to be in a place, if you know you've been dealt something, then go begin to develop that area so that when the enemy comes back, you have now the ability to ward that thing off and to begin to fend against yourself when that stuff starts to come at you. You got to build that area up.
Yeah.
You know that's been exposed as a weakness, build that area up. so that you can have the right repertory in order to deal with it when the enemy's coming back at you. So the disciples asked and said, look, why we couldn't do it? I need wisdom. So they were asking for wisdom. Give me some guidance. Give me some understanding. Help me. And Jesus told them, this is what they needed. He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. In your traditional translation, it says pray and fast.
Yeah.
Now, the reason is this, and I want you to understand this, because even in the Deaf and Dumb Spirit book, when I was in this particular chapter, praying and fasting, it does not mean that you had to be on a 40-day fast every 40 days. Does not mean you had to be laboring in an all-night prayer for 21 days. What it means is that you have developed a lifestyle of prayer, that you have developed that thing where it is consistent in your life. So what happens, because for the past 10 years, I believe, we've had a midweek fast day. So if for 10 years, Wednesday come along and you've been fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., if you've consistently been doing it, it's not a hindrance or it's not a weight or a burden when it comes around. And now what happens is you've been built up in that area. So you have fasting and praying in your life because you have now developed that thing over time. It's just because you go on a 21 phase does not make my fast any less because I fast for 12 hours or 6 hours. That's the instructions that God has given an individual on that individual fasted time. But what happens is, the more I spend time in his presence and fasting and praying, the more access I have to the understanding of the Spirit and getting the power that I needed to be able to move in the things that God has me to move in. Because flesh is out the way. All fasting does is crucify flesh. Because you got to have some type of discipline to tell the flesh what it's not going to do. The Bible tells you that the spirit and flesh is enmity between God. They fight. That spirit, your spirit is wrestling with your flesh, trying to get you to do what it wants to do. Who's going to win? You make the decision. You make the choice. Who's going to win the fight? So Jesus told him, he said, this kind of come about prayer and fasting. And Jesus operated in that. He lived a prayer life. He lived a fasted life. He's not going to tell you to do anything he hasn't done. So that's how we gain the access and the power and the authority. And we got to have the faith to believe that, you know what? I want to be whole physically. I'm not going to allow this bitterness. I'm not going to allow this resentment, this unforgiveness. I'm not going to allow these various things to hinder me, to bring me to this place. And here it is. Now I'm dealing with a deaf and dumb spirit. Because that spirit wanted to take him out. That spirit wanted to kill him. And so we got to understand it. I want to read this one little part from this chapter, and I'm closing out. And I think I mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to read it from here. I mentioned that part. I'm going to read it out this and I'm going to read this other part. Okay, I'm going to read it from the book. You know, I mentioned it. Here in the United States, we do not usually run into these violent cases because they have already been committed to mental institutions. Drugs are administered and the individual is so sedated that the demons cannot operate through him. We are now intimating that we are not saying that every mental patient is demon possessed, because there are mental problems caused by other reasons such as accidents, problems at birth, etc. But when the demonic symptoms are evident, we deal with them in the name of Jesus and get results. For the other types of mental illness, we pray the prayer of faith for their healing, as we are also instructed in the word of God. The other part, when he told Jesus about praying and fasting, he said, do not allow Satan to browbeat you by saying that because you have not fasted 40 days, you do not have the power to command him to leave in the name of Jesus. We are not doing it in our own name and power, but in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus promised, if thou can believe, all things are possible. He says, so take your liberty in the name of Jesus and do the wonders and exploits that Jesus expects us to do. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Close the book. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise.